Hi, I'm Babita Jampala and I'm doing my PhD from Texas A&M University. Today I'm going to talk about my PhD topic, which is designer sorghum combining the high digestible trait and the waxy grain traits for improved nutrition, bioethanol, beer and food and feed products. First, introduction about sorghum. Sorghum is a main crop which is used for human consumption in Asia and Africa, but in US, sorghum is mainly used as an animal feed. And now sorghum has been increasingly used for bioethanol production. Recently, 30 to 35% of the sorghum grown in the US is being used for bioethanol. If we could increase the production, we could still increase its usage in the ethanol industry. Apart from just using sorghum grain as an animal feed, if we can use sorghum grain for producing bioethanol and instead use the byproduct that we get from the bioethanol industry, which is the distillers, dried grain solubles, as an animal feed, we are using sorghum for two purposes. And the problems associated with sorghum being used for the bioethanol industry is its low digestibility and the high energy requirements compared to corn. This is the structure of the sorghum grain. The maximum percentage is being occupied by the endosperm, which is 68 to 78%. In the endosperm, the maximum share is for starch. The starch granules take up 60 to 77%, and the rest is the protein matrix. The protein is in the form of cafferins, and there are three types of cafferins, alpha, beta, and gamma. These are the structures of the protein bodies. The one on the left is the wild-type protein body. In the wild-type protein body, the alpha cafferins are present in the center, whereas the beta and the gamma cafferins form the peripheral layer. The alpha cafferins, which are actually in the center, are highly digestible, whereas the beta and the gamma cafferins that are in the periphery are resistant to digestion because they have disulfide bonds. This is a protein body structure of a mutant that was identified, and this mutant is the HD mutant, and HD stands for high digestible mutant. In this mutant, there was increase in the digestibility of protein. When the sorghum was not cooked, the HD sorghum was not cooked, the increase in the digestibility was around 15%, whereas when the sorghum was cooked, the digestibility increased from 20 to 25%. And this increase, when the protein body was actually observed, in the wild type, the beta and the gamma cafferins were actually in the periphery, whereas in the HD, the gamma cafferins were actually in these folds, in these invaginations, which increased the surface area of the alpha cafferins, and the alpha cafferins were highly digestible and highly available for the enzymes to degrade. Apart from this, the added advantage from using the HD mutants were the lysine content of the DDGS from the HD mutants was high. This is another picture showing the same. Here, these larger bodies here are the starch granules, and the surrounding layers are the protein matrix. So this is actually the wild type, in which every starch granule is actually surrounded by the protein bodies. Whereas this one here has the starch bodies, but the proteins are into clumps, and they are not surrounding the starch bodies, but they are away from the starch bodies, and they are collected at some certain point. So it's observed in the HD mutants. Another trait that we are interested is in the waxy trait, and the waxy trait has starch completely in the form of amylopectin, and there's little or no amylose. This trait was recognized in 1933, and because of the amylopectin being branch chains, the endosperm structure in these waxy grains is weak, and it's highly desirable for bioethanol and for brewing industry. So when we combine both these traits, the HD and the waxy traits, we are solving the four major limitations of sorghum for the bioethanol industry. The first one is we are removing the inhibitory cafferin matrix. So the starch is readily available for degrading, and we are reducing the temperatures for starch gelatinization and enzymatic hydrolysis. And the last one is we are increasing the lysine content of the DDGS. But there are some problems associated with this combining of these two traits. The HD trait is not easy to phenotype. It's time consuming and the results are variable. And we have no idea of what combining these two traits will do to the yield and also to the fermentation, time and the amount of ethanol that we get from them. So based on that, our objectives were to find the QTL associated with the HD traits, and to fine map the QTL in near isogenic lines. The second objective is to compare the ethanol yields and the fermentation efficiencies of all the HD, the waxy, and HD by waxy lines and the wild type lines. And also we want to see if there is any yield penalty that we get by combining these two traits. So we just wanted to do multi-location yield trials. Coming to our first objective, for the QTL identification, the parents that we used is P850029, which is a HD parent, crossed with Surano, which is a high-yielding sorghum variety. The phenotypic data was collected because the assay is hard. We used a different method to phenotype the lines. The phenotypic data here was collected by observing the seed on a light box. When we cut the sorghum seed on the light box, the wild-type seed have an inner waxy translucent layer and has an outer chalky opaque layer. Whereas in the HD lines, the inner waxy layer is missing. The seed is completely chalky and opaque. So based on that, the lines were scored as HD or wild type, and the DNA was extracted from the recombinant inbred lines. The primers that we used were the SSRs. Both of these data was used to identify the QTLs. This is a map here showing the QTL that we identified. The map on the left is the one that we developed. These two markers here, XTXP43 and XTXP329, are significant, and the QTL is actually found in between both of these. And this is a map that was actually published in 2000. It's an old map. It's for just a reference. Here, this XTXP43 marker is here, whereas if we observe, there is a Caffrin gene a little down of this XTXP. So we are thinking it might be the gene, and we are trying to find out. The problems associated with fine mapping using the RIL population is the QTL resolution is limited, and there are other phenotypic traits also affecting the trait of interest. So we decided we'll be fine mapping in the near isogenic lines. The near isogenic lines were here developed using the heterogeneous inbred families. So we selected like 8 lines which are heterogeneous, and we took 100 seeds from these 8 lines, 100 each, and then we phenotyped them, and we grew them, and then we collected the DNA and everything, and fine mapping will be done on that population. For fine mapping, because there were no SSRs identified between the two markers of interest, we developed gene-based markers, and we could develop 13 gene-based markers, out of which only one is polymorphic on both the parents. So that would be run on the RIL and also in the near isogenic lines. Whereas the other 12 gene-based markers are being used in sequencing of both the parents. And we are hoping the sequencing will result in some indels or SNPs. Coming to the second study, which we wanted to just compare the ethanol yields. So here 29 sorghum lines were selected out of, and these 29 sorghum lines included the high digestible, the waxy, and HD by waxy lines. In one of our previous study, we included the wild types, so we did not include the wild types in this study. The 14 lines are from one cross, and the other 12 lines are from a different cross, and the 3 parental lines were also included. The chemical, physical, and fermentation tests were done, and on the DDGS, the residual starch and the amino acid composition tests were done. This is a graph from one of the published paper from the previous study. Here we have 3 categories of seed, the HD, the waxy, and the wild type. On the x-axis is the fermentation time, whereas on the y-axis is the fermentation efficiency. Here we see the HD lines ferment in a shorter time, but their fermentation efficiencies are still low. Whereas the waxy lines do take a longer time to ferment, but the fermentation efficiencies are around 93%. When you see the wild type lines here, the wild type lines take longer time, and also their efficiencies are lower. So when we combine both the HD and waxy lines, what we are expecting are the lines that take shorter time to ferment and have higher efficiencies. That's what we are expecting. And this graph here shows the data from this analysis, which has the HD by waxy line. Here we see 3 categories. This graphs here are the HD lines, which ferment in a shorter time. And this higher graphs here are the waxy lines, which take a longer time to ferment, but the efficiencies are higher. And the ones in the middle are the HD by waxy lines, which are actually fermenting taking a little longer time than the HD lines, but still fermenting faster than the waxy lines, and the fermentation efficiencies are reaching higher. So some of our lines are behaving that way, while some of the other HT by waxy lines are not behaving what we want to see. And these are the two tables showing the fermentation efficiencies and the amino acid lysine contents. The first table here shows the efficiencies. The maximum difference in these lines is at 24 hours. So the HT by waxy lines are fermenting a lot faster. In 24 hours, their efficiency is 96%, whereas the HD is 75%, and the waxy and the wild type are 59 and 57%. When you see at 72 hours, the waxy lines are catching up with the fermentation efficiency. Coming to this table here, shows the amino acid lysine content in the distiller's dried grain solubles. The HT lines have a higher lysine content of 3, and the HT by waxy have a 2.4%, whereas the waxy and the wild type have 2.1%. So the HT and waxy lines are actually behaving in between both of them. So they're fermenting shorter, in shorter time, and the efficiencies are higher. This comes to the third study, which is the yield study. Here, the population was from RTX2907 crossed with P850029, and 100 lines were selected after phenotyping. Out of these lines had 24 from each category, the HD, waxy, HD by waxy, and wild type again, and the remaining were 4 testers. The study was done in 2 locations, College Station and Halfway, and Each location had 3 replications. The measurements that were collected were the grain yield, the plant height, test weight, 100 kernel weight, and seed per panicle weight. The data collected was analyzed using SAS. This is a table that shows the mean squares for the combined analysis. These are the traits that we took observations for. Here, if we see, the grain yield is actually not affected by any the environment or the genotype, but the only entry within the genotype is significantly different in the grain yield section, whereas the plant height is being affected by the environment, different environments, and the genotype and entry within the genotype. The other trait that's being affected is the 100 kernel weight, and it's only by the environment. So I'm showing the graphs of only which that were significantly different. This is the means for the plant height. In the means of the plant height, we have 4 categories, HD, HD by waxy, wild type, and waxy lines. And the heights here are half from the halfway, College Station, and combined analysis. Here, if we observe, the lines which had the waxy gene in them, the HD by waxy and the waxy, were comparatively shorter than the other 2 categories. So we are thinking maybe the waxy and the there is a linkage between the waxy and the height gene somewhere. We have to look into that. And this is the means for the 100 kernel weight. This is again for the halfway, College Station, and for the combined analysis. When we see the 100 kernel weight of College Station were relatively shorter, or the 100 kernel weights were smaller for College Station compared to halfway. And in halfway, the HD by waxy lines had a smaller values for the HD and waxy. Coming to the conclusions, if you could find a marker that is highly associated with the HD trait, then it will be of great help in the marker-assisted selection, and that's still in the process. The HD and waxy lines here are fermenting in a shorter time and having higher fermentation efficiencies. And there is no yield penalty by combining these 2 lines. So there's no significant difference in the grain yields between the 4 categories of seed. I would like to thank Dr. Rooney for doing all the crosses and doing that. And Dr. Dongai Wang, who's from Kansas State University. He did the ethanol fermentation studies for us. And for funding the AgriLife Research, the Sun Grant Initiative, and the Insormal. With that, I can take some questions.